invite you to open your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 12. We want to begin reading at verse number 20. John chapter 12 and verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Let's look to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the service thus far, for the blessings of good Christian music, good praying, good fellowship with the saints, and we thank you for being reminded about so many that are in need of prayer. We ask you to bless each one who's been mentioned by name. We pray for those who might be shut-ins or other circumstances and they're not able to be here tonight. We pray for anyone who's joining the service through sermon audio that you'll just encourage their hearts. And we pray as we open your word that you'll open our hearts that we might receive what you have for us. And we pray it all in our Savior's name. Amen. Sirs, we would see Jesus. And we see with our eyes. That's what those men wanted, to see Jesus. But the Bible teaches seeing is not just with our eyes, but through the eyes of faith, faith in God's Word. And this happens when we hide God's Word in our hearts, as the psalmist taught us, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." Having eyes of faith that can see is just as real, just as tangible, just as convincing, if not stronger, than seeing with our eyes, because it's seeing with our heart. And this type of seeing, having spiritual insight through faith in the Scriptures, the Bible actually presents as a far greater eternally of and of eternal importance. You remember after his resurrection, the Lord appeared to his disciples and Thomas was not there. And when he told of his appearance, when the disciples told Thomas of his appearance, Thomas replied and said, "Unless I see with my eyes, I will not believe." Well, 8 days later, as they were all gathered together in a room with the doors locked for fear of the Jews and the religious leaders, Jesus appeared unto them and Thomas was there. And the Lord said, "Be not faithless. Jesus said unto Thomas, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." In Pastor Kelly's wonderful little book, The Bible Symbols, we learn that the Bible symbol of the eye is understanding. And by the way, he used to often teach that if that symbol cannot apply everywhere in the Bible where that word appears, then it's not a true symbol. It's a type or something. But a true symbol will fit in any place where that word appears. We can see with our eyes, and we can see also with the eyes of our understanding. And a classic example that comes to my mind of seeing through the lenses of faith and not the literal eyes would be the famed hymn writer Fanny Crosby's. You know, she was called in her day the mother of modern congregational singing in America. That she was called by that. And Ira Sankey attributed the success of the Moody and Sankey evangelistic campaigns all across America and all across Europe, he attributed mostly to Crosby's hymns. Fanny Crosby wrote more than 8,000 hymns and gospel songs in her lifetime, as well as many other songs and books. By the end of the 19th century, her name, the name of Fanny Crosby, was a household name all across America. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Blessed assurance. Jesus is tenderly calling you home. Praise Him, praise Him. Rescue the perishing. To God be the glory. You know, hymnal publishers in that day were cautious to have so many hymns by one person in their hymnals. And they would not. Fanny Crosby used upwards to 200 different pen names during her career. But though she was physically blind all her life, when it came to seeing Jesus as these Greeks desired of Philip, she had perfect vision. She could see Jesus in a way that probably few could see. And her hymn writing was a testament of that superiority of the eyes of her understanding. These Greeks in the text came to Philip saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus. We may not yet see Jesus literally with our eyes, but yet we can clearly see him through the eyes of our faith. To Jesus, as he truly is and eternally is, requires diligent Bible study. It requires coming to the pages of the Word of God where we can see eternity past. Of course, we see it in respect of the present time, 2001. The eternity is, in a sense, always is. But for example, as they said, Sir, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus from pre-creation time, before there ever was any worlds made. And we see that in Proverbs chapter 8 and 9, which displays some amazing, amazing divine wisdom, who, by the way, is Christ. It says, Paul told us in his epistle to the Corinthians, Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God. Wisdom is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in Proverbs, let's turn there for a moment, Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 28. Proverbs 8 and 28, and the whole chapter, the chapter 8 and 9, is all about wisdom. But in verse 22, wisdom is speaking, wisdom personified. And it says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. I was set up. Set up is the same word used here is the word anointed. I was anointed. I was set up. Henry Morris makes the comment in his study Bible that Christ was in the beginning with God in the opening verses of the Gospel of John. He is God. He's the only begotten God. The only begotten of God. And his incarnation in John chapter 1 and verse 18 says, the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father. And Morris said this of Christ, the wisdom of God, that he is eternally proceeding from the Father. It's an interesting observation. He is eternally proceeding from the Father. The doctrine of the eternal generation of the Son from the Father is beyond human comprehension and can only be apprehended by faith. Sir, we would see the pre-existent before the world was wisdom of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. There he is in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 22. Sir, we would see the Jesus of creation. We go to John chapter 1 and 1, 2, and 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and in earth, and visible and invisible. Thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Yes, sir, we would see Jesus of the pre-existent existence before anything was. We would see Jesus of the creation. Sir, we would see Jesus at His miraculous incarnation. The prophet Micah's inspired words, more than 5 centuries before Christ was born, prophesied of the one who was to come, who was to be ruler of Israel. And He would be born not in Jerusalem, where we might have expected, not in some big or important city in Judah or in Israel, but in the humble little town of Bethlehem, Ephrata. And the prophet said that this one that was to be born, that his goings forth, the goings forth of this ruler would be from eternity, from everlasting. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou were be little among the thousands, yet out of thee shall he come forth that to me that is to be ruler in Israel, and his goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. We can see, as the prophet saw, we can see by the eyes of faith just how the prophet saw. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. True Bible believing faith has substance. It has evidence. True Bible believing faith is able to see the unseen. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word substance in Hebrews 11, 1, it means that faith has support. It literally, the literal meaning of the word 5287 in the Strong's Hebrew dictionary, is the word concrete. You know what concrete is? Substance. True believing faith has concrete assurance, because the eyes of faith can see the past, the present, the future. It's tangible. It's tangible. It's real. It's real. Or we could ask, as they did, "Sir, we would see Jesus after he was born, when he was a child." Turn to Luke chapter 4, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and reading at verse 42. "Now his parents went up to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew it not. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed and said, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Three days they sought for him. He was 12 years old. Son, why hast thou dealt with us like this? We've sought thee sorrowing. Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? In preparing this message, I was wondering how this speaks to the heart of a young person, or even a person who's young in heart. Do you think that the Lord's answer, "Wist you not that I must be about my father's business," 12 years old, does that give you any possible insight into what God thinks is important to a young Christian, a 12-year-old, a teenager? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, "Remember now in thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil years come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Growing old has struggles. I think and pray often of Linica. She's old. She's in her 90s. And she can't be in the service. She can watch it on the sermon audio. And that's the direction that we're all either there or we're going to. But what about a young person? A 12-year-old, people that are in their teens. You know, it has been rightfully said, I've heard it, and I'm sure you heard it too, that Christ, while he was on this earth, he lived his life as he intended men to live. He did what the first Adam could not do, nor any of the descendants of the first Adam. And that included his childhood when he was 12 years old and in his teen years, of which this passage that we looked at gives us a glimpse into. If you, as a young person, have trusted Christ to save you, then this is a passage for you. God put this in the Bible for you, to give a glimpse into a young person like Christ. And if you are saved and you have trusted Christ, then this is the kind of heart that Christ wants you to have. Sirs, we would see Jesus in our youth as believers. Young believers. Does your faith in Christ have spiritual sight? Can you literally see and know God's will for your life? I'm not saying to know it 30 years down the road. God's will for your life today and tomorrow and each and every day. Is his will more important to you than anything else in your life? It was with Jesus. Is God's will, young person, is it more important than anything else to you in your life? It should be. It should be, whether you're young or old. And it can be if you want it to be. Are you training yourself with that faith that comes from the Bible, from hearing the words of God? Are you seriously meditating on God's word on a regular basis? Not just reading a quick verse here or there. I mean, seriously doing some diligent Bible study and meditating upon it. That's where faith comes from. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are you training yourself to know his will? Are you seeking in your life, young person, to have Bible confidence? I know the Bible. I'm learning. I'm hiding it in my heart. Are you training yourself to hear the God's word? And are you seeking that confidence? And God will assist you if you are. God will be right there along with you to help you to know what God's will is and how to do it. And I'm telling you, if you will do this by the time you get into your adult years, if you will do this diligently, young person, starting at 12 years of age or younger, if you will do that by the time you enter your adult life, you'll be light years ahead. You'll be spiritually light years ahead of any weak, baby, carnal believer who just wants to go the places they want to go and they want to have fun. They live their lives all caught up in the things of the world. Jesus didn't do that. And it's not his will for you to do that. Nor for adults, for that matter. So, is Christ helping you? Are you looking to Christ to help you to see his will just day by day, just one day at a time, to walk in his will? If that's happening in your life, it's because you're putting him first in your life. I don't want a faith that's here one day and gone tomorrow. I hope you don't either. It's a faith that has solid, concrete assurance, and it's a faith that has evidence. It's not a walk in the dark. It's a walk in the light. And faith comes from the Word of God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has to train you and convince you that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, I'm going to make time to read my Bible and study my Bible. I'm going to make time to pray. I'm going to make time to go to the church services as often as the Lord will help me to be there. Because when the church meets, Jesus Christ is here. That's the attitude to have. Yeah, I want to be at the church house because Jesus Christ is, that's where we meet Him collectively. Yes, I want to be there. I want to have fellowship with God's people. I want to be on guard, have my heart, my shield of faith, to be on guard about going out and fellowshipping and having a good time with the young people of this world and the things of this world. John said in his little epistle, love not the world. The Lord Jesus is telling 12-year-olds and teenagers and adults, love not the world. Don't love the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What's first in your life? When you get up in the morning, what's first? What's your first? When you go out into the day, when you have a day that you can do whatever you want, what's first in your life? With God's help, none of us have it within us. It's not in us. It's Christ in us. And it would be Christ in you as you look to Christ, as you depend upon Christ. And none of these things that we're talking about are done in some kind of a churchy, legalistic kind of a way. Well, it's my duty. I have to do this. I have to do... No, the love of Christ is far greater and higher than that. There's liberty. There is liberty in Jesus Christ. Not legalism. There's liberty. He's come to set us free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And you'll be free indeed. There's liberty in Christ. That's why the Jews were removed out of their land for 2,000 years. They rejected Christ. They rejected their Messiah. And they lived according to their own folly, and they set up their own self-made religious ideas and rules, and that's what they lived by. And you just read sometime the history of the nation of Israel from the time that the Romans came in and just leveled that place and everywhere they went. And even to this day, they're surrounded by enemies that are just would just love nothing else than to just wipe them off the face of the map. We need to pray for Jerusalem. The Bible says, they shall prosper that love thee. Pray, it says in Psalm 122 and verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. It's so amazing to see the story of them returning to their land. All their enemies on every side surround them. And now even our own government's support of Israel has diminished. And with the new administration, we're now increasing support to some of Israel's avowed enemies. But again, nothing in your life. And let's underline that word, nothing. Let's put it in caps and underline it. Nothing in your life is more important to Christ than to have the peace and joy of being a Christian and learning how to follow His leading every single day. Listen, it's within reach. It's faith can take hold of that. The Lord Jesus is the loving great physician. He knows how to fix hearts. He knows how to fix hearts that are in bad shape. He knows how to fix sick hearts and troubled hearts and defeated hearts. The psalmist said in Psalm 57 and verse 7, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. And I will sing and give praise." He said just before that in verse 6, "They have prepared a net for my steps." Young people, and whatever we say to young people, it certainly applies to the oldest person sitting here in this room. But young people, you better believe that the devil wants to set you up for a terrible spiritual fall. And he can do it. I mean, all you have to do is just step back and look at this world that we live in. Our cities are on fire. Shootings are everywhere. Just look at the mess the world is in. And he's got traps already set for you that you're not even aware of. It could be people you know. It could be your friends. It could be people you have no acquaintance of. It can be circumstances. He's got everything. You need to remember who the great, loving, great physician is. Just ask God. In faith, ask God to help your heart to have this concrete, tangible, real, certain assurance of faith. It's there. It's for you. And it will help you to accomplish His will in your life. John, in this passage we read, well, let's read it again in chapter 12 of St. John. I'm reading at verse 20. "And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And by the way, that word hateth his life, if you look it up in the Greek's Strong's Concordant Edition, it does mean to love less. It means to love less. But that's a sub-definition. The main definition is to abhor. To abhor. You have to abhor. I have to abhor my life. And he that abhors his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. But he that loveth his life shall lose it. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there may also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for these precious words, for the eyes of faith that are so wonderful to be able to read your word, whether it's at the creation or your existence at the pre-creation, the nation of Israel, the life of the Lord Jesus at 12 years old. What an amazing account that we have. And you said there are many other things which, if everything was written that Jesus did, the books, the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. What an amazing little glimpse that you gave us into his life and how it speaks to our hearts. At the tender age of 12 years old, he was sitting and learning the word of God, and yet he went home and was obedient to his parents. And Father, we pray for the young people in this church and in this Christian school. We know there's great temptations out there, and we just pray for them, Lord, that you'll protect them, that you'll help them to be faithful to establish a relationship of Bible study in their lives, that they'll be faithful to come to the church services. And we just thank you for each and every one of them. In these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen.